The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Jost gets it back. He clears all the way down for Nashville off the corner boards. And going in, they score! Shorthanded Eric Hauda. Jost cleared it all the way down after Celebrini fell down. He put it off the corner boards. It popped out in front. And a one-time play by Hauda makes it 5-3. Nashville, a shorthanded goal that has to devastate everybody at SAP Center.
No, I mean, it's their first time going through this type of hockey game. This is not even close to the playoffs. It was pretty close to the playoffs as far as a regular season game, you know. So a lot of teaching moments that we'll use to move forward. Some of our players that have done it need to help our younger players kind of understand what it looks like.
All right, good morning, everybody. You are on Morning Tide on Sunday, April 5th, and the San Jose Sharks are coming off of a disappointing yet somehow dramatic game against Nashville. They fall down 3-0 early. They mount a remarkable comeback, and then they give up three straight once again along the way, a shorthanded with an empty netter. Oof, that was tough. That was a rough way to go about losing to Nashville. For another game against that Predators team, they had the bad start, just like they did a week and a half before last night's game was a bad start. You can't fall behind 3-0 and expect to have a good outcome from that game. I understand the San Jose Sharks, you know, had their chances in that game, but you certainly don't make life easy on yourself, and you certainly don't give yourself your best chance when you fall down 3-0 in the first period of a game. Let's take a look at the standings right now before we go any further. The San Jose Sharks currently fourth in the wild card rankings, 79 points. They are 2 points back of LA for third place, 2 points back of Nashville for second place, 7 points back of Utah for first place in the wild card. They are 7 points back of Vegas, 8 points back of Anaheim, and 8 points back of Edmonton for the Pacific. And the San Jose Sharks have one game in hand on LA, one game in hand on Nashville, one game in hand on Utah, two in hand on Vegas, Anaheim, and Edmonton. So the San Jose Sharks still most definitely have their opportunities from here towards the finish. And one of the things that was most interesting to hear from Ryan Warsofsky is that they are going to quickly move on from this game and get ready for their next biggest game of the year, which is going to be Monday night against Chicago, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock go time, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Then on Wednesday night, they have Edmonton. That is a massive game. Then they have on the second part of the back-to-back at Anaheim. They are going to be in a massive game there. Then they play Vancouver in their last home game of the season. Then it's going to be at Nashville, at Chicago, and at Winnipeg to finish off the year. So we have got 2 work weeks left, right? We've got Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. But what I guess what frustrates me so much about last night's game is that so many of the issues we have seen throughout the year came back to haunt them in all of the exact same ways. Not a great start. That's an issue we've seen this year where they just look, I won't say sleepy, but they don't take care of the puck early on. They create opportunities. They give it up. You know, giveaways in the neutral zone or at their own blue line, that's not going to help you. That's not going to do anything for you to try and get ahead in a game. You know, Yaroslav Askarov probably could have made some more saves than he made. He wasn't the problem in the game, but he wasn't the solution when the Sharks needed him to come up with big saves. I think that ultimately you watch a lot of this game and you think to yourself, I've seen this. I've watched this game before. I have seen them not show up for games in the exact same way as what we saw in this game. We've seen it against Edmonton before. We've seen it against this Nashville team before. We've seen it against other really good teams. And that is the difference between San Jose and some of these teams that are that much more experienced, older. They have more veteran presence and experience when it comes to their teams. And that's why last night's game was so frustrating, because you saw the Sharks fall into a lot of their old traps. And the guy who showed up early on to get San Jose rolling was Nick Leddy. But that's, I guess, relatively expected, because Nick Leddy has been there and done that. You know, Alex Wenberg showed up for this team because he has more experience in the NHL. And even there, though there were moments of brilliance from the youngsters, like Graf setting up Macklin Celebrini, this game was ultimately going to be one of frustration. And that was turnovers. That was not taking care of the puck. I mean, the shorthanded goal, I mean, especially because they had already given up chances shorthanded, it was just looking sloppy. It was looking like they just weren't with their normal fire and their overall verve that they needed. This was a game where you could feel mistakes coming, and Nashville was able to take advantage. And Nashville's an experienced team, and they are going to be opportunistic. And San Jose does not have the ability to just turn on their best game at the drop of a hat. I mean, some teams know how to do that when they are in their prime, when they are in their best years. San Jose is not there yet, and you could see that very, very clearly out there on the ice. They are still in the process of learning. The one thing that gives me hope is that they still have their chances with the standings, with games in hand. Obviously, they are within striking distance, and they've got opportunities before them. That is not the issue. The issue is that San Jose can make these mistakes that we see relatively, you know, similarly happening over and over. And that's the most frustrating part, because you want them to get over the hump. And I think there's an impatience with all of us with regards to this team, that we want them to take that next step. We want them to be ready to get to the other side. We want them to be able to just suddenly thrust ahead beyond where they are. But, you know, this is a team that they've almost won as many games this year as they have the last 2 years. You know, they won 39 games the last 2 years combined. And the San Jose Sharks right now, when we look at their standings, they've won 36 games. They're only 3 wins shy of matching their total of the last 2 seasons combined. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Team development is a legitimate thing. You don't just turn a corner and suddenly turn into a well-polished, well-oiled machine that knows how to get things done on any given game day. The Sharks are not there yet. They've got players that try their best, but it takes a whole collective. You know, Will Smith was not at his best last night. Dmitry Orlov had ups and downs. Yaroslav Askarov, ups and downs. Shakir Mukhmudulin, ups and downs. You could say ups and downs for the entirety of the lineup, and I think that would be a legitimate thing to say. I think everyone would look at that and say, yeah, that tracks. Some guys had good moments. They also had bad moments. Some guys had, you know, poor shifts, and they would come back and have a good shift. And I keep on coming back to this refrain of down, not out. They are down right now. They suffered a loss, but they have another opportunity in front of them. And in their first experience in games like these, in their first experience where we are into the month of April, everything is on the line. The Sharks have had trouble in some of these big games. Now, they gave themselves a chance overall in the standings by winning 4 games, you know, leading up to this point. But then they have a fall off in the 5th game in the biggest game of that stretch. Now, they take care of business by winning 4 out of their last 5, including last night's. But then at the critical moment, they falter. And then in the game, you know, they come back and make it a 3-3 game after they're down 3-0, because you get Leddy, and then it was Macklin Celebrini in the waning moments of that second period, and then Alexander Wenberg early in the third. But, you know, then as soon as you do that, then you've got more poor play, I guess, for lack of a better term, that gives Nashville the opportunity to score 3 straight once again to make it a 6-3 final. And, you know, you have your chances. I'm not bothered by the empty netter. That's going to be what it is. An empty netter is a risk inherently, but it's the shorthanded goal. It's the turnovers you made after making it a 3-3 game. It's the penalties you take that you don't love in the moment. It's a lot of self-inflicted damage that caused San Jose to not be able to make the most out of this game. And hopefully, and I would look at this for the long term as well as the short term, they are learning these lessons. If you listen to Brody's breakdown last night with Drew Remenda, Drew said that it is ultimately the lessons of pain that you tend to learn best when it comes to life and obviously sports. And I feel that, unfortunately, he is probably correct. I would imagine that the San Jose Sharks, despite the fact that they had won 4 in a row, losing last night's game in the fashion that which they did, they are probably going to have some anger stemming from that game. They are probably going to be upset. But the San Jose Sharks still have their opportunities now with the remainder of these 2 games on this homestand. They've won 3 out of 4 on the homestand. That's great work. Can they get a fourth game on this homestand by taking down Chicago? And then can they get a fifth game by taking down the Oilers? That's going to be a tough, tough task. And then they've got to go down south and take on Anaheim. So life does not get any easier for San Jose. They have opportunities right now, but they have got to get away from the self-inflicted wounds. So many of the issues that they faced in last night's game against Nashville were of their own volition. They turned the puck over at inopportune times. They were sloppy with the puck when they themselves were on the power play. They didn't show up with the correct intensity at the start of the game, whereas the older, more experienced team was able to do so. They have got to learn those lessons and take them into their next two big games against Chicago and specifically against Edmonton, because Edmonton has the ability to put a hurt on you early and often, and the Sharks have got to be ready for that. So hopefully the lessons are learned. Hopefully they're ready to move on from this. It's not the end of the world. The Sharks still have their chances, but with so much hype going into last night's game about it being the biggest game of the year up to this point, trying to make good on the poor game they had against Nashville the time before, they were unable to do so, and they walk away staring at a wonky scoreline. Let's get into the highlights from last night. We have a lot to get to. It was Nashville who took it to San Jose early and often.
Now at the middle of the point area, a backskating Josi goes back to the right circle. Marchessault, the drive, stick save, Askarov. Rebound behind the net. Ferraro's got somebody else's stick. They couldn't clear it out. Now it's Goodrow with no stick on the ice. It's Josi feeding it to the middle. They score! A tic-tac-toe play, Josi to Marchessault, and then Forsberg ripping it. It gets through, and it's 1-0 Predators on that goal by Philip Forsberg.
That makes it 1-0 at the 8:38 mark of the first period. And then just over a minute later, Forsberg would score his second of the first period to suddenly push Nashville out to a 2-0 lead, and the Sharks were feeling a bit shell-shocked.
Here come the Predators skating right to left. They come up to the Sharks' line. Willsby jumping in now on the near side. Wood shoots, save, score! Matthew Wood drove it to the net. The puck rang off of Askarov. It might have hit the crossbar and bounced down, and the Predators bang it in to make it 2-0, and the Sharks find themselves in another first-period world of hurt against this Nashville team.
Well said by Dan Ruzanowski, a world of hurt early on. They're down 2-0 with two goals about 90 seconds apart. And then we get into the later stages of this first period. Steven Stamkos comes up with a power play goal. I would have liked Askarov to make a better, attempt at stopping this one. But suddenly the Sharks are down 3-0. Everyone trying to figure out what just happened yet again against this Nashville side.
Here come the Preds again. On the right, Forsberg, two goals. Sends to the middle, knocked away by Eklund, but he didn't get all of it. And so Josi kept it in. 15 seconds on the power play for Nashville. Sent across the ice. Stamkos shoots. Score! Steven Stamkos gets a pass across the rink and scores another power play goal for the Predators. And it is suddenly 3-0 with 3:05 to go in the first.
So that's your scoreline going into the first intermission. San Jose not playing their best hockey by a long shot. But I give them a lot of credit. They regathered during that first intermission, and they came back and they played better hockey during the second period, and they got themselves back into the game. They were a little bit more careful with the puck. They were more responsible defensively. They were that much more structured, and eventually they were able to get the breakthrough. Is Nick Leddy, what a great story he's been. After he was waived, goes down with the Barracuda, total professional. He comes back with his first goal of the year. William Eklund, he's already got one of the craziest goals of the year, by the way. I don't know if you want to go back and watch this highlight. He's got one of the craziest passes. No look between the legs, going back into the slot. Nick Leddy, ready and waiting for it, makes it a 3-1 game, getting San Jose on the board and getting some momentum going.
4-on-4 chance for Leddy. He scores! Nick Leddy gets his first goal as a Shark, and it couldn't come at a better time. The Sharks win the battle behind the net. It's centered out in front, and Nick Leddy's wrist shot gets by Saros up high. San Jose's on the board with 4:11 to go in the second. It's now Nashville 3 and the Sharks 1.
You get some life back in the building at that point. Nick Leddy with the goal. William Eklund with the assist. It's 3-1. Now in the waning moments of the period, this is the Macklin Celebrini special, because when everyone else is tired, when everyone else is running out of the gas, his superior conditioning and physical ability keeps him fast, ready to go. And it's two of the young guys, as well as Nick Leddy, combining on this goal with 19 seconds remaining in the period. Colin Graf with a beautiful play, going behind the net, feeding Macklin Celebrini, and suddenly it's 3-2 late second period.
And now with 28 seconds left in the period, Graf gets it out to Celebrini, to center, veering to his right, lead pass, Graf moving in, getting under behind the defense, stick handling, throwing into front, Celebrini, score! It took Colin Graf a second to get control of the puck, and he chose to go back behind the goal. Celebrini set up shop in the slot, got a pass from Graf, and he snaps it up top to make it 3-2 with 18.7 seconds left in the second period. And that's what we call seeds of doubt planted inside the Nashville bench and dressing room.
And again, San Jose did not make life easy on themselves by going down 3-0 in this game, but to fight back and make it a 3-2 game, give themselves life, get themselves back into the game. You give them a lot of credit. And because there is magic around San Jose, you wondered if they were going to be able to continue this and make a go of it in the third period, because sometimes the teams that have the magic, they're able to carry that momentum that maybe you didn't see coming, and things turn. And we all know that hockey is a game of momentum oftentimes, but San Jose gave themselves life. We go to the third period now. It's Alexander Wennberg with one of the most remarkable goals of the season, just doing it all on his own. And suddenly the Sharks have tied it back up at 3, and you can feel magic in the air once again.
It's Perbix, neutral zone, getting it back, throwing it back into the Sharks territory in the left corner. Perbix out of St. Cloud State goes in to get the puck. Howler did too, but Orloff and Desharnais win the battle, and here comes Wennberg to center with speed across the line. Makes the move, gets by Marchessault, heading in, goes to the backhand. He scores! An end-to-end rush by Alex Wennberg, and the backhand gets through Yusuf Saros at 1:06 of the third period. The Sharks have fought their way back to tie the game 3-3, and SAP Center is doubly, triply excited.
And even though at that point it felt like maybe it was one of those magical comebacks in the making, the San Jose Sharks still became their own worst enemies. They couldn't play clean enough hockey. They couldn't do enough of the little things right. It's a learning opportunity for them, and it all starts to unravel. 8:28 mark, Ryan O'Reilly makes it a 4-3 game.
It's O'Reilly into the Sharks zone. Dumps behind the net to Evangelista. Back to O'Reilly. Score! That's a great feed by O'Reilly down low, and Evangelista wasted no time to send it back, and Ryan O'Reilly puts it right through the wickets on Askarov, making it 4-3 Nashville with 11:32 to play.
Because San Jose was not able to capitalize, because they were not able to take that momentum from the third goal that tied it up, they left the door open for Nashville to wrest momentum back in their favor. And I think that's the thing that you really have to note, is that when you have a comeback like that, you have to work so hard to wrest control away from the opposition. When it's 3-0, when it's 3-1, when it's 3-2, when it's 3-3, you've worked so hard just to get your way back level. And then if you're not able to carry that momentum, that takes the pressure off the other team. And then eventually they wait for you to kind of take your own momentum away. And I felt San Jose did that. And then when the opportunity was there, Nashville took advantage of it. 4-3 is not insurmountable, but then you get an emotionally devastating blow by giving up a shorthanded goal. And there were multiple opportunities on the San Jose power play shorthanded for Nashville. You could feel this one coming. Not a good feeling. 5-3 Nashville.
Jost gets it back. He clears all the way down for Nashville off the corner boards, and going in, they score! Shorthanded Erik Haula. Jost cleared it all the way down after Celebrini fell down. He put it off the corner boards. It popped out in front, and a one-time play by Haula makes it 5-3 Nashville, a shorthanded goal that has to devastate everybody at SAP Center.
An accurate assessment once again from Dan Rusinowski. Devastation to give up that shorthanded goal and now face a multi-goal deficit once again. San Jose would try and create opportunities off the empty net situation with an extra attacker, but eventually they were done in by the empty net, and it made it a 6-3 scoreline that was good for your final.
And an empty net, O'Reilly to Jost. He will put the puck into the empty net and score. Not a shorthanded goal with a minute 15 left. It's 6-3 Nashville. You got to hand it to the Predators for an amazing road game.
Yep, the Preds took care of business. They played with experience. They did not make the same errors that San Jose did, and they gave themselves a great opportunity all throughout this game. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski in his post-game commentary. He was not upset with this game. I think he's recognizing that his team is not as experienced, is not as veteran, is not as tested as some of the teams they're going up against. He did not seem overwhelmingly disappointed with his side. I think he was a little bit bummed out, but I think that he was trying to give a very honest assessment of where his team is. Take a listen.
The final score, I mean, how proud are you of that comeback that they made?
Yeah, we stuck with it. I liked our response in the second. So that's something that was part of the one big positive of the game. Obviously disappointed with our third and just some things we did to kind of shoot ourselves in the foot.
It's four goals in four games for Wemberg. What can you say about his performance tonight?
Yeah, he was really good. One of our better forwards. Looked comfortable in that type of atmosphere.
And the O'Reilly goal there, that breakdown there, what happens there?
Yeah, it starts, you know, we don't get a shot through on the point. It comes back. It's a 2-on-2. It's a nothing really play. He actually kind of puts it in to probably get off the ice and sees that they get the puck back. It's a easy cover for us. We just don't defend the middle of the ice good enough.
So, Coach, it was a frustrating start, but it was the most frustrating moment when you had the power play, chance to tie it up, and they end up getting the shorty instead, and the whole game just changed after that.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of frustrating moments, to be honest with you, but yeah, anytime they score like that, it really, you know, puts a game out of reach.
A couple of slow starts against Nashville. Maybe what have you seen as maybe a trend or some mistakes that are maybe happening in both games or a few starts were different?
Yeah, I think tonight was a little bit different in a sense as far as, you know, this was a playoff-like game. It's the closest we've been in, you know, as far as the intensity of it. Both teams knew what was at stake. So hopefully we can learn just how to start the game like that on time better.
What did you see out of your goaltender tonight?
Yeah, I made some big saves.
You know, it seems like
guys going for the first playoff.
Yeah.
What do they need to learn from the game? It's not just that, but maybe
Yeah, that mentally you got to be ready, number one. And two, physically, you got to be ready. You got to be physical. You got to get into people. You can't play at the end of your stick. And we had some guys playing at the end of their stick tonight.
Is that disappointing at this juncture of the season for that to be happening?
No, I mean, it's their first time going through this type of hockey game. This is not even close to the playoffs. It was pretty close to the playoffs as far as a regular season game, you know. So a lot of teaching moments that we'll use to move forward. Some of our players that have done it need to help our younger players kind of understand what it looks like.
That's the quote that we came in with on today's episode, but that's the one that really lets you know where Ryan Warsofsky is on what happened in this game. I think he's looking at it as a learning moment, a very much realization of where this team is and is not. And I think he's going to go from there. He's not going to, you know, lament what happened for too long. They've got to get ready for Chicago, and that's probably the best outlook.
Especially in the last few games, power play seemed to be working well. What made it so difficult tonight?
Yeah, I just couldn't execute. We just couldn't make that next play.
I feel like in the first period, guys were maybe passing up opportunities a little bit more instead of getting the puck to them.
Yeah, that's something that you watch playoff hockey. It's, you know, get it up, hit it to the net. Chaos, get people inside. We're a perimeter. We didn't have enough direct ozone play to our game.
Okay, so about Nick Leddy.
Thought he was really good. You know, again, another guy, older guy. Probably knew what to expect what was coming into tonight. You know, and obviously we've seen Goody and Winnie and some of our older players. I thought Mac handled it really well. So, again, teaching moment. We'll get better from it.
Is it a glass half full kind of moment though for you guys in the sense that, of course, you know, you lost this game, but now you have Chicago to look forward to, or another chance to?
Yeah, this time of year you got to move forward. You know, we'll learn from it. We'll get ready for. Everyone says, "Oh, this is a big. Chicago's the biggest game of the year now." So, and then we'll get on to the next one. That is what it is.
That the final power play there that you have, like, is there a, you know, urgency that needs to be up though, or what, you know, what kind of happens there where they have the better the chances?
Yeah, urgency, execution. You know, we come in, we have possession, we play, make a high risk play over there to Mac. We fan on it, and then they go down and score.
So a disappointed but not a fiery Ryan Warsofsky after the 6-3 loss. Again, I think he's trying to take things in stride, use it to recognize where his team is and is not, and go from there. Let's hear from Alex Wenberg. Usually has some good thoughts after wins and losses.
I mean, Woody slashing across. I saw his Marcus Hulse forward, try to just go around him a little bit. I mean, obviously it worked out great. big part of the game as well. We were talking about coming out in the third being hungry. So, I mean, obviously, good start to it. I mean, unfortunately, we didn't find a way to win this game.
What changed in the third period? You know, you tied up early. You guys have a pretty much a full period of a tie game. What allowed them to maybe take momentum back after such a strong push?
I mean, I think we play pretty solid in the third. I mean, obviously, they get the chance then to score. But other than that, I feel like we're putting pressure on them. We're creating chances. So, today, I mean, the performance itself, I mean, it goes up and down. I feel like we're good enough to win this game. Obviously, come up short, but parts of it are good. But, I mean, it's never going to be easy. We're playing against a good team. It's not going to be a straight road. So, right now, we're just going to learn from this. And, I mean, there's more opportunity to come. So, we're excited for the challenge as well.
I know some people might want more of an emotional reaction from Wennberg, but I actually don't mind that he's able to just brush this off. The Sharks cannot focus on what went wrong in this game for very long. They've got to look at the film and get ready for a big game against Chicago tomorrow, because that is the next biggest game of the season. Rectify the mistakes and go from there. As I keep on saying, the Sharks are down. They are not out. They still have their opportunities and many games to play. More with Wenny.
Two games against Nashville, and both games you guys had tough first periods. This one, obviously, you get back in it. What's been the trend? Maybe what's been the challenge for getting going against Nashville in the first period, maybe?
Hard to tell. I mean, obviously, both games are different today. I feel like we just scored two in the power play right there, so we got to be better on the special team. But, I mean, obviously, these games are intense. I mean, both teams are really fighting for it. So, not the way we wanted to start this game, but I feel like we showed a lot of character, stayed in it, and, I mean, obviously, ties it up. But we just got to finish it off. Today, I mean, obviously, it's not good enough to win this game, so it is what it is. I mean, obviously, it's bitter right now, but I mean, no one here is hanging their heads. I mean, we're still in it. We're still looking forward to it. So right now, we're just gonna learn to move on. There's a new game, new challenge, and that's our aim right there.
And what did you saw on that late shorthanded goal?
I mean, kind of a broken play. I mean, I think it tried to pass it to Mac, missed it, they dumped it. I mean, it happens. Obviously, it's unfortunate, but. Yeah, I mean, part of the game, I mean, obviously we push into get an equalizer and end up getting scored on. So, power play, we got to be a little bit better with that, but not much you can do right now.
Just generally speaking on that power play there, just what has to be better? Because they had both of the quality chances on your power play there. So, what has to be better, more urgency or just something you can point to that has to be better there?
Yeah, I mean, we got to be better. I mean, obviously, we can't give up chances. And we're out there to score goals and at least get momentum. So now we're doing the opposite. So probably not good enough right now. So that's something we got to work on and be better at.
But you guys you tested Soros enough. Maybe there's a couple opportunities to shoot the puck a little bit more. I mean, how did you feel about the challenge Soros?
No, I think we did. I mean, I feel like we have our chances. Obviously, there's opportunity where you can have it back. Maybe you would have done it differently. But it's a game of reaction, game of trying to make plays and reads. Is he always going to work out? No, but I don't think we're. I mean, obviously, you can break this down and really like pickpocket and see what we should have done differently. But I mean, right now, obviously, we create those chances. We do what we can to win this game, and we don't. So it is what it is. But obviously, we talked about it before that we got to shoot more pucks. We got to get rebounds. We got to get someone screening, and maybe that's today we play a little bit too much on the outside. So. If we test them not, I don't know. I feel like this style of play, the way we want to do it, we might have to ramp it up a little bit.
What do you see on the last one here? The Forsberg goal, I think it was the second one. It was a 5-on-5, and they got an odd man rush there in the neutral zone. Just what do you see on that play?
Yeah, I mean, try to make plays, try to come in and break the puck. They obviously get a 4-on-2 shot over the crossbar. I mean, it's kind of a funky goal, but yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what you saw. I mean, I think what you got to do with that is just move on and be better at it. So, I mean, we can really look at it and be this happened, that, but learn and get better.
Learn and get better. That's a very, very simple mantra, and I think there is a whole lot of truth to it. The most important aspect of it is whether or not the Sharks can learn quick enough and whether or not they are going to be able to give themselves their opportunities before all is said and done. They've won 4 out of 5. They have got an opportunity in front of them on Monday in the biggest game of the year up to this point against Chicago. And then on Wednesday, it's the biggest game of the year. Once again, that's going to be a nationally televised game on TNT with the Oilers in town. And then they go down to Southern California to take on Anaheim in a rematch of what was a remarkable game last Wednesday night at the Tank against the Ducks. So they have their opportunities, right? San Jose has still a chance to force their way into the playoffs, but they're going to have to play clean hockey. They cannot make the same mistakes that they made in this game against Nashville. And I think we can also acknowledge that Nashville has San Jose's number. It is a bad matchup. They play very, very well against San Jose. and they have now won 15 straight against the Sharks. And I think we can all acknowledge that this is not San Jose playing in their best matchup against this Nashville side, but they've got to climb that hill and get over it. They've got to ascend to the next level. I don't know if that happens before this year is over. We all want it to happen real in a hurry, but they've got to get there and they've got to get past Nashville. These are all part of the tests they must pass if they want to get to the next level of their development. All right, we are all out of time. We will be back with you on Monday as the San Jose Sharks play host to Chicago. Pregame 6:30, go time 7 o'clock right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.